All right, let's pray. Father, we just praise you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise, Lord, because you alone deserve all the glory, honor, and praise. Father, we just thank you for who you are, for what you do, and for just being with us, Lord God, and teaching us and leading us and guiding us and just being a part of our everyday life, Lord God. I just thank you and I praise you. Lord, I just ask that you would bless this word. Lord God, I ask that my thoughts will be filled with your thoughts, Lord, and that I wouldn't say anything, Lord God, other than what you want said, Father. And I just ask that you bless it, Lord God, to our spirit man, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So Sunday, I felt like God spoke to me, and he mentioned the word culture, but he also mentioned about his ways, you know, that like sometimes we think we're following his ways, but we're not necessarily, you know, including him into what he wants. And it was actually confirmed, because I thought, okay, I got to get this down. So I grabbed my phone and took my little note and put my phone back. And then when Pastor got up, his first scripture was Isaiah 30:21. And he said, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." So right, that kind of like jumped out at me. And I thought, okay, how many of us are, we think we're walking in the right direction or on the right path, but we're not necessarily doing that, because sometimes we get culture mixed in with that. You know, even though God's in our culture, it doesn't mean we're always, we could be culture-like instead of Christ-like. So many people are following the way of culture without following the way of God first. They're not including God. They're leaving him out. And we know that. We see that happening all the time. But the job of a Christian is to enhance our culture. It's to bring God in and let people see God's way and not our way. So we are to bring our faith into our culture. It's our Christian faith. It's not a threat, as some are making our Christian faith out to be. They're making it seem like we're the enemy, when in fact, we know who the enemy is. We're actually representing God and trying, it's the love of God that's shining through us, that we're trying to get them to do what's right because of God's wrath that will eventually come down on the non-believer. So our Christian faith is not a threat. But it keeps God at the center of our culture. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way to follow. My ways are much higher than your ways, and I'm able to do far more than you could ever ask for or imagine." He's saying that when we don't include him, we're limiting him, because he's got so much for this nation. But if the church doesn't rise up, then and fill the spots, you know, because people are going to be dethroned, basically, but Christians have to rise up and fill in those spots. Just like when we needed a person to sit in the seat of the library board, you know, how many Christians even tried for that position, you know? So we need to let God, step up and let God lead us the way that he wants us to go. So your ears, it says, I'm sorry, I was reading Pastor's scripture again. When the people of Jerusalem left God's path, he would correct them, just as he does when we leave his path. He calls us back, but we have to be willing to follow his voice. So that was in the footnotes of the scripture that Pastor had quoted, and I thought, yeah, how many of us need to be corrected and be put back on the path that God has for us? Our culture is not all bad, but there are many good qualities, and there are many good Christians who are praying and believing that this nation will turn back to God and be back on the path that God has called her to. But there's been a shift, and that has happened from once holding godly principles to now being spiraling down out of control. And we know that things will progressively get worse, but not for the believer. I don't believe that for a second. I know that we do see bad things and we do go through hard times, but God is still our protector. He will still watch over his own children. So, and I believe that with all my heart, that no matter what I see or what I go through, even if I did die, I know where I'm going. We all know. We all have that hope. So, yes, amen. So it has become a belief system, but one turning away from the ways of the Lord. Our culture has lost reverence for God's authority. And it has had a negative influence over individuals and our community behaviors. They're trying to change our beliefs, behaviors, practices, and procession to transform the environment into what was once good, what the foundation was. But now it's trying to be put on a foundation of evil. We know that culture affects things like the food we eat, what we wear, where we live, but it actually goes much deeper than that. It's learned patterns of perception, values, beliefs, behaviors, and material objects that together they form the way of life for people. It influences how we think and interact in many different ways. But the Bible teaches us that Christians are called to be imitators of Jesus. So even in all those things, God's ways are first for the Christian. We have to be following his ways first before culture's ways. So we're to model our lives after Jesus. The word imitator or followers in the Greek is to mimic our behavior after Christ. And mimic is a really strong word. That means everything you do with Christ at the forefront of it. Me being up here has to have Christ at the forefront of it. Working on your job has to have Christ at the forefront of it. We mimic everything we do. How we treat our spouse should mimic Christ. We need to be patient, loving, self-controlled. He's a great husband, anyways.
You're not preaching to him?
No, he's good. He's good. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 to follow God's example in everything you do because we're his children. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to you, to take away your sins. Paul describes what a Christian's behavior shouldn't look like and what it should look like. In Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, it says, "For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." So many people, even Christians, have this idea that if we love the way Jesus loves them, then we should accept others and what they do. But that's not Christ's love. We don't accept what other people do, especially if it's against the Word of God. We're to love them, but not necessarily everything they do. That's far from the truth. It's false. The Bible says to love others, but it does not say we are to accept the wrongs of others, especially if it goes against the Bible or Christ's ways. As believers, we have to discern what is right and what is wrong. We do that by renewing our minds with the Word of God. God shows us what's right and what's wrong, but He's already instilled it into everybody. Everybody knows right from wrong, but some people have chose to follow their own path. That doesn't mean we're all going to have the same point of view, but whatever point of view you have, it should always follow the ways of the Lord. It should always lead you to Christ and His Word. In other words, if you disagree with somebody in the body of Christ, we all have different views on things. And I saw this as an example one time where if I was Christ standing up here, but I put like 10 phones on me and have the cameras on and put them all over and I walk, every one of those cameras is going to have a different view. And that's, but yet we're still carrying the body with us. So that's how it is. We don't always necessarily agree in the body, but it always should lead, it should be one body. It's just that other people have different views. It doesn't make it wrong. It's just that it's their view versus your view. You know, you saw it differently. But as long as it leads us back to Christ, it always should lead us back to the Word and back to God, His ways. So at one time, people obtained a reverential fear for the Lord, but the fear has lost its value in our society. People have become desensitized to the consequences of their wrong behavior. They don't have a moral compass to even direct them, it seems like, sometimes to what's good anymore. They just continually do bad. But that's because they're not challenged with the truth. Too many pastors aren't standing up for what is right, and neither are believers, because we wanna hold back because of rejection or fear. And God is going to take that away from us because He wants us to be bold for Him. He wants us to stand up and speak His word. No matter where we're at, He wants that from all of us. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." So when I was praying this past Monday, the word wayward came out of my mouth. I knew it was the Lord. Wayward is someone who behaves in a selfish, bad, or unpredictable way. Their depraved inclinations. The Bible definition for wayward is turned or turning away from what is right or proper, willful, disobedient. It's backsliding, which is false representation, not living up to the standard or ideal. It's backsliding away from what once was believed by someone as truth, but for some reason is now rejected, and they are believing a lie. So we need to be careful, because none of us are too religious, or however you want to word it, that we can't go backwards. God is watching over us, But we have to make sure that we're not following the ways of the culture too heavily where we're going to end up going backwards. So one of the definitions that was for wayward was depraved inclinations, and that is morally corrupt, wicked. And I know people that were once Christians, and now they're living the life of the world. They've backslidden away from God. So if they can do it, I know any of us, we're not exempt from the temptations of the world. But we need to, that's why we need to stay with focused with the Lord and keep doing what's right. Keep going to church. Keep spending time in the Word. Keep praying. Keep talking. We have to do our part too. Inclination, okay, so depraved is morally corrupt, wicked. Inclinations is a person's natural tendency or urge to act or feel in a particular way. So when you put the two words together, it's morally corrupt or wicked feelings that you want to do a particular thing or act in a particular way. It's a lie from the pit of hell that has been believed by an individual. There's many people that call themselves Christians, whether they are or not, I don't know, but are being accepting of what's really wrong out there. Homosexuality, abortions, those two seem to be the biggest, you know, that people, Christians are accepting that as being okay, and it's not okay because it goes against the Word. And what's in the Word is truth. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into that same lie and that same pit. Romans 1, 26 through 32 says, "This is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. When they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things they should not have never have done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They are forever inventing new ways of sinning." I thought, wow, that's pretty bad that they have to. It's the evil, though. It's the enemy putting grotesque thoughts in people's minds, and they're acting on them, and are disobedient to their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, and are heartless and unforgiving. They are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead and do them anyways. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. And we're seeing that in our culture. We're seeing them encouraging others to do the same thing. In fact, they're preying on our children. They're preying on the innocent to do such grotesque things. And they will pay for that if they don't turn from their wicked ways. They accept what is evil as good and good as evil. And they have no respect for God or his authority. They reject his way of doing things to follow after their own lustful desires. The Bible says they knew and recognized him as God, but they did not honor and glorify him as God or even give him thanks. 2 Timothy says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, God wants us to love the sinner, because we were all once sinners, and we have no right to judge anyone, but we need to be praying for them. We need to love them and reject the sin, hate the sin. To pray, and we need to pray for them that they might come to know the truth and the knowledge of God. That was in 2 Timothy 3. Yeah. If we're going to make a difference in our culture, then we have to learn how to love others the way Christ loved them. Because I can see sometimes in the body of Christ, people not loving each other the way they should. I see it all the time. And it's like we need to bring correction in our lives and love people the way God loves. And the only way you can do that is study the scriptures on love. Study them. Know them. Learn them. You know, pray and ask God to help you to walk in that love, to recognize it and to extend it. Because really, it's his love flowing through you, and you have no right to hold that love back. So Jesus said that the greatest of these is love, but we don't conform ourselves to show them love. We have to stand strong in our faith against all wickedness. So we have to stand, even though we love them, we still have to stand strong against what they're doing. You know, we don't accept that behavior. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So one of Israel's biggest problems was the pressure to conform to the culture. Yet God gave them all kinds of moral, civil, and ceremonial laws to make them different. And God has done the same for us today when we determine to follow after his ways and not our own, even in spite of the pressure we feel with the culture around us. God said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. God gives us wisdom so we know the right way to go. He guides us and even gives us words to say to someone when we need to say it. He wants us to ask him. He invites us to ask him, and he will show himself to be true. That point right there, I just want to say that the one day I was at home and I was praying, and I felt like there were people that were, I don't know if they were offended by me or didn't like me or whatever the situation was. And I was praying and praying and praying. And God spoke through me and he said, I will show myself to be true. And I thought, wow, when he said that, it was powerful because it took the pressure right off of me. It's like it takes the pressure off of us and puts it back on God because they're attacking God. You know, you can have people attack you, but when you give that over to God, he says, I will show myself to be true. God will show himself to be true in this culture, in this nation. He will show himself to be true. We don't have to do anything except to love him, to praise him, to serve him, to worship him. And he will show our enemies to be true because they're standing against him and him alone. So we need to ask for wisdom that it would lead us to obedience. And as we are obedient, it leads us to a closer relationship with him. So he desires to draw us closer to himself. Jesus said the only way to the Father, it was through him. And the only way to be restored and renewed is through him. And way, the word way in the Hebrew is direct. It's a road, is as trodden, a course of life or mode of action. It's a path. God's ways are our path. It's the right way. And those who follow his ways will be blessed. And blessings come when we put our faith in him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father except through me. So I want us to know tonight that we need to make sure that we're staying on the path that God is leading us. And that we will, including him in everything we do, you know, because he has to direct our path and our steps. And we have to make sure that we're following after his ways. So let's go to prayer. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you have ordered the steps of the righteous, Lord. Our steps are ordered by you, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that as we walk on the path that you set before us, Lord God, Lord, we can trust that we will do mighty and great things for you, that we will be blessed, Father God, as we stay on that path that you have ordered for us, Lord. I pray, Father God, that throughout this week, every step we take, Father God, you will remind us that you are with us, you are leading us, and you are guiding us. Whether we go to Walmart, whether we go to work, go to church, go see family members, you have ordered our steps. You have a plan and a purpose for every one of us to be used by you to shine the light of Jesus Christ, Father God. I ask, Lord God, that we would glorify you in everything we do, that you will be glorified, you would be magnified, Lord God. Shine bright through us, Lord God. May the light of Jesus Christ illuminate through us, Lord God, especially this weekend, Lord, as we're with family. Lord, help us to show them your love. Help us to show them your forgiveness. Lord God, help us to show them how you serve. Lord God, help us to be all that you have created us to be in you, Lord God. Because, God, it's not about us. It's all about you, Lord. And we can't do nothing, Lord God, without you. We need you, Lord God. This nation needs you. This city needs you. These families in the city, in our church, Lord God, in our homes, we need you, Father. We need your presence, your power, your name to be magnified and glorified over this city, Father. Lord, I thank you for our children. God, I thank you that you are watching over them. And you also have a plan and a purpose for them. You have ordered their steps, Father. Father, I pray that you would lead and guide every child out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes, Father. Speak through them. Even those, Lord God, who do not know you, we welcome you, Father, into every home. Speak through these babes. Lord God, shine through them. Protect them. May the angels of heaven surround them. Keep them on the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I thank you. See.